Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Baby, I need Chris Tubbs to find Celebrate Good Times. Come on. Let's celebrate by calling the gang because I am having a cocktail. I usually don't start drinking the Grey Duck spirits that I buy from Dennis Brother Liquors in Cottage Grove by the caseloads until 5 p.m. Central Time. But I'm going to assume it's 5 p.m. somewhere in the world, maybe Australia, but there is a cause for celebration because the good neighbor has a new neighbor in the morning show spot. It is somebody that I love. It is somebody who is my sister. We go back like babies and pacifiers. Vanita Sarkar. Y'all know her from Channel 5. She used to host the morning show with Tom Hauser. And then she went over to the University of St. Thomas. She was the media specialist over there. And now she will be the new host of the WCCO Morning News. I am so excited. Let me tell you how far back me and Vanita go. When I was pregnant with Andrew, it was a surprise to Sean. I had planned it. We were pregnant and we were living in this really expensive three-story townhouse that they just built, 808 Berry, across the street from KSTP, because I didn't want to drive in this night. I just wanted to walk to work. And I was bragging to Vanita about all the designer maternity gear that I was going to get. Because, you know, it's your first baby. You don't know that Pampers cost a whole lot of money, right? You don't, you know, you never had a kid before. You're just excited to look good in your maternity clothes. And Vanita pulled me to the side. Her kids were young at the time. They're in college now. And she said, Shaletta, don't waste money on maternity clothes, girl. I got a closet full of maternity clothes that you can have. And you can wear those to work. You can still be fashionable. You can still be stylish. And you don't have to spend any money. You and Sean are in that townhouse. It's three stories. That's cute. But when you got kids, three stories ain't good. You need you a house with some space and some room. So if you guys have that baby and more babies, they can run around. And you can chase them. It's hard to chase kids up and downstairs. So save that money. You and Sean get your house. And here, I'm going to bring you my maternity clothes. She gave me my first baby shower gift. And she has always been and will continue to be my friend and supporter. So I am so excited to have her on board. We are going to talk about the impact of that. Right? To have a woman of color on the Good Neighbor station in that morning show slot. What does that mean? What does that mean for the Twin Cities media landscape that she and Reggie Wilson, who is over at Care 11 as the new sports director there, and so many other changes that are happening in the Twin Cities media landscape, bringing in more diversity, more people of color, so that we're reflective of the community that we represent. What does that mean? We'll be talking to college professor Dr. Beth Olson from the University of Houston. She specializes in women's studies and media. we're going to explore that in a real academic sense. I'm just excited to have my friend here. I'm excited to see the diversity. I'm excited to have the other opinions of somebody who looks like me in that morning show role. But right now, I don't know if you all saw it. Vice President Kamala Harris was live today. It's Maternal Health Awareness Day. We're talking about women and maternal health and what we can do to decrease the deaths that happen for women and their children during childbirth. Of my four children, Andrew, Brandon, Cameron, and Daniel, I almost died with three of them. And it was scary. I remember laying there in the bed thinking, Lord, please don't let me die. I got to raise these babies. And I don't want to be gone and somebody else have to raise my children. But I literally thought I was going to die. And I thought that was unique to me, right? I thought that was just somebody, you know, who it was just a fluke until I started talking to other women. And then I started looking at the work of Dr. Rachel Hardiman. She's a tenured associate professor in the Division of Health Policy and Management at the University of Minnesota. And she is joining us right now. Dr. Rachel, thank you so much for being on the Chad Hartman Show.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really thrilled to be here.
Now, I know, like me, you were watching Vice President Kamala Harris and a bevy of beautiful women, very educated and learned, talking about maternal health. When you watched that panel, when you saw the stories of those women, what was the takeaway from that?
So there are many takeaways. You know, today is the first ever Maternal Health Day of Action as announced by Vice President Harris and her in the White House office. And it's exciting. It's important. It's much needed. So when I listen to those stories, like you just said, you had no idea that other women, other birthing people were having similar experiences. And I think for me, hearing those stories is a reminder of how much work we have to do in the United States to ensure that all women, but in particular Black women and Indigenous women and women that live in rural communities, have the opportunity for safe, high-quality experiences during pregnancy, and they don't have to ask that question of, am I going to survive? You know, they don't have to worry about, as you said, with the birth of your children, am I going to be able to raise my babies? No one should be thinking that as they're giving birth.
Yeah, it's horrible. You got to worry about, am I going to make it out alive? Are they going to give me the same quality care that they give my white female counterparts? And you got to try to heal and recover and advocate for yourself. And sadly, this hasn't changed much in 5, 10, 20 years. Why now are we just now seeing the White House address this at its highest levels when we've been screaming about this for decades?
Yes, that's such a great question. I would argue even centuries. If you look at our infant mortality, we can go back hundreds of years to see the racial inequities in maternal and infant deaths. So we know that infants, Black infants and Indigenous infants, are twice as likely to die in that first year of life. And we've known that for hundreds of years. I think maternal mortality and issues of maternal death have come to the forefront in recent years because we realize that as a nation, as a country, we're the only wealthy country in the world that has a high maternal mortality rate, and a maternal mortality rate that's rising. I think that in the past 5 years, what we've seen is folks like you, journalists and media, who have been paying attention to these issues and have been centering the experiences of Black and Indigenous women who have had these poor outcomes and telling those stories. I also think it helps that we have a Black woman in the White House, right? Someone who can identify with these stories in ways that other folks can't, and is willing and able to use her platform to sound the alarm. Also, what we know is that these deaths are preventable. In most cases, about 80% of maternal deaths are preventable. And so it's unacceptable that we have not putting the time, the energy, the effort, the resources into fixing this problem.
And it's good to see that we are not just doing interviews about it, not just talking about it, not just shaking our heads and saying, this is so sad, this is so pitiful, it shouldn't be this way. But our leaders, our elected leaders in the highest office are addressing it and have a plan of action. What does that mean for actual care when you go in to see the doctor? We're going to address that next.
Yeah, I mean, I think we still have a lot of work to do, to be clear. So some of the legislation being discussed today is around the Build Back Better Act and the investment of over $3 billion in maternal health funding that will transform investments in growing and diversifying the perinatal workforce, for instance, meaning that as a Black person walking into the healthcare system, walking into your clinic for that first prenatal appointment, you should be able to find a provider and see a provider who looks like you, who understands your lived mm-hmm. experience, mm-hmm. who understands how racism could show up in your life and how that could impact stress during your pregnancy, and is able to have those conversations with you. It means that we're going to see more efforts and legislation and money put into really thinking about how the social factors and social determinants, so the neighborhoods we live in, where our children go to school, our access to safe spaces, how that contributes to poor maternal health outcomes, and really shifting the way that that contributes to those outcomes. So, you know, I think it's not, you know, we have a long ways to go, and there's incredible champions both here in Minnesota, but across the country, and certainly in the White House that are moving this work forward, and we're not going to see changes overnight, right? We're not, unfortunately, going to see things shift right away, but we are marching forward and ensuring that Black, Indigenous, and rural moms and their babies have the opportunity to thrive.
Okay, don't go anywhere. We're going to take a quick commercial break, but when we come back, we're going to talk about some of those people who are championing this work, because we need to shine a light on them and let people know how they can find them. Those organizations, those clinics, those doctors, we'll talk about them next. It's 1223. You're listening to News Talk 830 WCCO Radio, your good neighbor station. It's the Chad Hartman Show. Chad is out. I'm in. My name is Shaletta Brundage. I host the Shaletta Show on Saturdays from 11 to 2. So if you like what you hear today, join me there. It's sponsored by Otto Bremer Trust. We have amazing conversations and a lot of fun. I'm having a lot of fun having some amazing conversation with my current guest. She is an amazing advocate, and she is Dr. Rachel Hardiman from the University of Minnesota. We are talking about the first ever Maternal Health Day of Action. And Dr. Hardiman, I had a miscarriage. My sister lost a baby shortly after giving birth. And when I created my podcasting platform, ShalettaMakesMeLaugh.com, one of the things we wanted to do was have a show all about maternal health. So we created the Life After Loss podcast. And the reason we did that is because I remember when I had my miscarriage, I had to come home to a house full of baby furniture and baby clothes and no baby. And the hospital sent me home with nothing. I think I might have had a pamphlet. And I just didn't feel like I had the support I needed after that happened to get well again, to not only heal my body, but to heal my mind as well. And so we wanted to create that space for angel moms and dads on my podcasting platform so they'd have a support group. And I was just amazed at the thousands of women who flocked to that show weekly to listen and comment and respond to my sister, who's a registered nurse, but also to say thank you for providing that space. Because, you know, there's more now, but and I'm so glad that we're talking about it. But, you know, 13 years ago when it happened to me, and 16 years ago when it happened to my sister, girl, there was nothing. And we had to come home knowing them rooms was full of baby furniture, baby beds, Pampers, and everything else. And we didn't have a baby.
That's heartbreaking. And it's something that, you know, it's a story that we still hear far too often. And I think one, you know, you're touching on something that's really important as we talk about maternal health. And, you know, we certainly have all of these statistics and outcomes that we're grappling with as a state and as a country. And we forget to talk about the mental health component and the emotional weight of both the reality and also of what you just described, right? So, you know, part of what we have to be thinking about as we move this work forward, too, is what does it mean in that postpartum period for people like you who just described the pain of coming home without a baby, but also and also for birthing people who come home and may have had a traumatic experience or just are experiencing postpartum depression or anxiety in some, you know, in some other way as well. And so ensuring that there's access to resources, there's access to community and support for all of those, all of the many pieces of those, you know, that reality that can show up. You know, one of the things that's in the Build Back Better Act that will hopefully be passed is that it will require all states to provide coverage, continuous Medicaid coverage for 12 months postpartum. So for birthing people who are on Medicaid, having access to care, whether it's mental health care or some other type of care for that year after giving birth or in that year after even having a miscarriage, as you described, is incredibly important. Right now, there's only coverage for 60 days, right? 60 days, and that's it. And we know that these issues go well beyond the time limit of 60 days.
Yeah. I mean, we talk to women and work with women on that Life After Loss podcast. It's been decades. And they're still right. hurting and still struggling and, you know, still crying and still missing their baby and, you know, have not had an opportunity to heal. But we've got to back up because we've got to go to where it all starts. And you know, if you're not getting that care, if nobody sees you and cares about your well-being, your health care, your pregnancy, then, you know, chances are you're not going to make it. Your baby is not going to make it if you don't have adequate and equitable health care. And we've discussed on this show so many times racial disparities in health care and how that impacts women who look like us, who look like Vice President Kamala Harris. But there are some organizations in the Twin Cities, in the state of Minnesota, who are doing good work to eradicate and erase those disparities. You know, Dr. Nika Sederstrom is over at Hennepin Health, and just this weekend she had black boys in stethoscopes where black men in stethoscopes where she had all these beautiful African-American doctors and was encouraging young African-American children to consider careers as physicians. So there's representation, but there's so many other places that are doing the work right now. Tell me about a couple of them.
Yeah, I would be happy to. And I just have to say, I loved seeing the photos of Dr. Sederstrom's event and all of those brown and black faces just, I mean, just warmed my heart. And we definitely need more of that. I always love to talk about Roots Community Birth Center, which is a freestanding birth center located in the Camden, North Minneapolis community and was created and is run by Rebecca Polston, who is one of the very few black midwives here in the state of Minnesota. And I have had an incredible relationship with Roots for years now as we help them to build out the research arm of the work and to really demonstrate the impact that Roots has had on the community and on the families that they're caring for. And so for folks who don't know, you know, a freestanding birth center means that they're not affiliated with a hospital or a clinic or a healthcare system. They do have relationships with those systems and are able to collaborate on care and transfer patients back and forth as needed or when that's needed. But really, Roots is based in a culturally centered model of care that's focused on honoring the lived experience of the person and their family as they walk in the door and ensuring that the support systems in a variety of different ways are sort of wrapped around that person as they go through pregnancy and into childbirth in the postpartum period. And what we see is that the outcomes are remarkable. So the typical statistics that we're seeing around preterm birth and low birth weight and maternal morbidity don't exist. And, you know, a lot of it can be attributed to the way that Roots and the midwives there approach the care. I also, you know, have to give a shout out to the Minnesota Healing Justice Network, which is a collective of reproductive justice, birth workers and activists across communities of color in Minnesota who are doing a variety of different work, whether it's in the healing space, working as doulas, as midwives, lactation consultants. And together, this collective has, I mean, over the past few years, really grown and really kind of created a great deal of outreach across communities, particularly in the Twin Cities and in rural spaces as well.
Well, I just can't thank you enough. We could talk to you all day about the work that not only you are doing, but that the work that so many others are doing to try to erase these healthcare disparities, try to keep Black women and brown women and Latino women and Indigenous women alive while they have their babies, and then have those babies live and right. those families healthy. Thank you so much for being on the Chad Hartman Show with me. I love you. I love all the work that you're doing over at the University of Minnesota, and I am so grateful to have you and your expertise and everything
that
you do.
Thank you so much, Shaletta. Yeah. I really appreciate it.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.